The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this March 2nd, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a gorgeous day in the Auburn Opelika area. Happy Monday, happy March, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, March is here, and it's kind of hard to believe. Kind of hard to believe that we are in the third month of 2026. It's one of the better months of sports across the nation, leading into April, which is arguably the best month for sports across the nation. We've got college baseball going on, NCAA tournament coming up this week, spring practice starts around the country, had teams starting today, spring practice for college football, SEC teams starting this week, of course Auburn a couple of weeks away from that as well, but there's a ton to get to on today's show. Christian, Monday to you. I said happy Monday, but Monday to you, Monday to most of our folks out there. The weather, if nothing else, should make people happy.
That's what I was going to say. Everything outside of sports is very, very happy Monday. Otherwise, it is just Monday, and how nice of it is, or how nice is it that everybody, you know, allowed you to get through the intro before lighting up the phone lines.
They're texting us, that's why.
Very fair, but it's very kind of them to allow you to still go through the intro and be able to welcome in the show before giving us a call at 334-321-1390. We know you got thoughts. We know that phone line is going to be lighting up. Tell us your thoughts on what happened this past weekend. Is this the worst loss since when?
Yeah.
Brings back a whole lot of memories, but none quite like this. And we're going to dive into Auburn basketball and Ole Miss, as Auburn is now projected to be the very first team out of the tournament. And there's conversations on that side of things. We're talking about some comments that Bruce Pearl has made over the past couple of days. The response from Miami of Ohio now after a couple of wins that they've gotten, after a couple of losses that Auburn has picked up. And then, of course, Chad Baker-Mazzara. So why not talk all things really good news in terms of Auburn basketball?
It was almost bad news for you today, huh? You got to do your civic duty today.
Yeah.
Good for you. First time ever, right?
It was, yeah. I guess now that I'm not in it, I can talk about it because they warned us not to.
Yeah, I mean, there's no details to give away,
no.
Right?
Went into jury duty, but got out of it.
Nice.
So, shout out to everybody that I told to listen today. So, hey,
hope you're listening.
If you're listening, expect a really, really fun show today.
Yeah, well, there is so much to get to, as you mentioned. A lot of college basketball. We'll talk Auburn baseball as well, as they take down Nebraska in the series. Not a sweep, but they do get the series win as they prepare for another midweek tomorrow. And then Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network at 3:30. But yes, we do. We start with the topic at hand.
The Atlanta Braves up 4-1 on the Tigers in the spring game.
David Montgomery has been traded from the Detroit Lions to the Houston Texans. No.
Boom.
That is big news for me. Thank God he's out of my division. He's so good. For a fifth-round pick. It's brutal. Brutal. But no. Auburn basketball inside of Neville Arena on Saturday night in front of a almost packed crowd in a game that we said had to be won. In a game that we said your season is on the line. Not 2-4 on ESPN 106.7. Your season was on the line Saturday night.
Yeah, not 2-4, November to March, November to April.
And a game that you just simply can't lose. If you want to be seen as a respectable program in the SEC and in this particular college basketball season, and Auburn, again, found not a way to lose. They found multiple ways to lose. 85-79, Ole Miss takes down Auburn on Saturday. And this is one of the poorest losses we've seen Auburn basketball as a program have in quite some time. And as Christian mentioned, phone lines are open. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box, as many of you have already, at 334-784-1067. One texter says, we got to remind ourselves, just keep saying, it's baseball season. It's baseball season. It's baseball season.
Dang right it is.
That's where people are now. Even with a little scare on Friday night inside of Plainsman Park, Tigers turn around, does Butch Thompson. We'll get to that later, but Christian, we've had, 40 hours or so to sit on this, and it hasn't gotten any better.
No.
I'll tell you that. 85-79, Ole Miss beats Auburn on Saturday.
You mentioned it when you were first bringing up this game, of it's a win that A, Auburn had to have, which we all feel in that boat of, yeah, it obviously had to happen. You had to go 2-1, if not 3-0, to put yourself in a really good spot following the loss to Oklahoma. But you said that Auburn had to win this game if they wanted to be seen as a respectable program in the tournament. Do you feel like this was one of those lose-lose situations that we talked a little bit about on Friday, where you didn't necessarily gain any respect if you won this game, but my goodness, what would happen if you lost it? You're now seeing the latter side of things, because a 6-point loss on your home floor, a quad three loss, and a game that we said Stephen Pearl shouldn't have to walk into the locker room and say a single word. And if it is, it's, all right, you want to keep playing?
Yeah.
Go win this game. And you looked like you wanted to for a little bit when you went up 8 points or 6 points right before the half. But again, Auburn continues to be one of the worst teams that I've seen in the first 2 minutes and last 2 minutes of each half. So the first two, the middle four, and the last two. Going into this game, I did a little bit of math. Let me pull up the exact number again, because we always talked about it, of how, man, Auburn had a 5-point lead with 2 minutes to play, and all of a sudden, we're down three. Or Auburn was up 11. Okay, now you're only down four. The Alabama game was a perfect scenario, a perfect example of that, when it was a 10-point lead. Alabama hit two threes to cut it. Made it a 4-point game at halftime, and that was what Stephen Pearl said led to confidence for Alabama in the second half. Let me pull up the exact notes that I have. Auburn's been outscored by 37 points in the last two, middle four, and last 2 minutes of each game.
How many games is that?
In SEC play.
Okay.
So now,
and that includes the Ole Miss game?
It does not. Oh, that was okay. Before then.
Okay.
Where I haven't gone back and done the exact number, but I know that it adds to that. And 37 over 16 games or whatever it is at this point doesn't necessarily seem like that much, but it's not just the fact of it's 3 points here, 3 points there. This is including the few games that you've actually outscored opponents 15-5 during that stretch. But, man, 5 times in 16 games have you outscored opponents. In the first 2 minutes of the game, the middle four, meaning the 2 minutes in the first half, the first 2 minutes to start the second half, and the last 2 minutes of the game. 5 times you've outscored your opponent. That's gross.
You're getting beat in crunch time. You're getting beat in the most important stretches of the game. The first couple of minutes of the game, the last couple of minutes of the game, and then going to the locker room and coming out of the locker room. Those, it doesn't get more important than that. And this Auburn team is just poor in those areas. And I'm sorry. That's coaching. It's what it is. It's coaching. It's having an issue of not having your guys locked in those moments. I think that's what it is. I think it's a it's a problem of not being focused and locked in, because we both played sports. You played it at a higher level than I do, or I did, where you get right up to tip off, you get right up to kick off, right up to first pitch, man. You got everybody's going crazy. You got music blaring. You've got the pregame speech. Like, it's so easy to get overhyped, overexcited, and over, you know, zealous in the moment, to where you lose focus of, okay, first drive of the game, we want to do this, this, and this. Or first 3 minutes of the game on the floor, we want to do this, this, and this. Or, okay, I'm overpumped, now I got to step in the box and try not to swing and miss on the first two fastballs I see, right? It's very easy to get overhyped at the start of a game. It's also easy to lose focus down the stretch of a half, maybe not be on the sharpest coming out of the half, and then down the stretch, that's just having a clutch gene, and Auburn has none of that. That's coaching to me. And not all of Auburn's problems fall on Stephen Pearl, but that one in particular does. The fact that you once again allowed a team to be better than you when it mattered most, and that Ole Miss team won its first game in a month and a half on your home floor on a Saturday night for a game to them that meant nothing for the outlook of the season, and for Auburn it was supposed to mean everything. And you let them outplay you, outwork you, outcoach you. And that's why the result is disappointing, but to me, it's not surprising.
Ole Miss won on an 8-0 run in the final 2 minutes of the first half.
That can't happen. You can't let that happen if you expect to win the basketball game. If you want to win, you cannot do that.
37-30 was the score. Ole Miss took a 38-37 lead to halftime. Auburn hits two threes to start the second half. But other than that, Ole Miss still dominated those first minutes.
That's like a nine-hole hitter running into a fastball. That's what that is.
And just not having any sort of response. No, I mean, surprising is the furthest word that you could use to describe this. I mean, go back to, remember when we talked about Auburn playing their best 60 minutes all season long, and it started in the second half in Oxford? Ole Miss hadn't won since then. Ole Miss won the game before. They lost to Auburn and lost 10 straight. Think about how many games we've played. Think about how long ago it was since we saw Auburn play good basketball for more than 3 to 4 minute spurts here and there.
But Auburn's lost 7 of its last 8 games. You've lost 7 of your last 8. And the only win was over Kentucky, which could have gone either way.
Yeah, you were an offensive foul away.
Yeah, literally. A 50-50 bang-bang call that went your way.
After being in control.
Yeah, in a game that you blew it. Yeah. And found a way to get bailed out. Yeah.
Auburn entered February as a 7 seed, folks.
Which in itself is not great.
No, but on the overall outlook when Auburn started is what? I think a 5 or a 6 seed to most. I think you were one of the first 5 teams, if not one of the first 6 teams. But you entered February as a 7 seed, and that was because of, okay, that was the tough stretch. Now go and win, because the middle 6 you just had to survive, but the last 6 you could really take advantage of. Auburn goes 1-6 in their 7 games in February. 3 of those losses to teams that will not even sniff the NCAA tournament, including this game on Saturday, a quad 3 loss at home to a team that hasn't beaten Auburn since COVID and hasn't won a game since you beat them on January 20th. So they haven't won a game since January 17th before this.
I can't remember a time, not with Auburn in particular, just a college basketball team. I can't remember the last time I've seen a collapse like this. And that's what this is. This collapse isn't even a dramatic enough word. This is a skyfall, man. This is just, Auburn just jumped out of the plane and said, well, here we go. And that's what's happening. And we went from, you're right, Auburn as a 7 seed, not even a shadow of a thought of this team missing the tournament. That idea not even for this team, Christian, but for Auburn basketball as a program, we haven't had this thought in years.
Since COVID.
Years of Auburn missing the NCAA tournament. They haven't even been close to missing the tournament.
Yeah. I believe once February hit, because I follow an account that posts it either monthly or weekly. But
like a percentage?
Yeah, Auburn was up to 99.8% to make the tournament.
You know what it is now, going into this week against LSU? It's down to 30%, which in
the
itself
fact that
is still wild.
Still 30.
Yeah, there's a conversation to be had there, but wasn't even a thought, man, of this Auburn team missing the NCAA tournament.
1-6 in the games in February, to where if you took care of business, even just remotely, again, against Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, you get two, you get three of those, you're probably, maybe still in that same exact spot. You take care of business even more than that and do what the possibility was in that stretch. This was the opportunity of, okay, Auburn's a 7 seed. Can they climb? Can they get to a 6? Could they even get to a 5 if they're starting to play their best basketball? Because we saw flashes, but I think we convinced ourselves at least a little bit while still knowing what the possibility was of maybe this team just hasn't hit its peak yet. Maybe this team is still figuring out its identity. Maybe this team is still figuring out the ways that they need to be successful to put themselves in the right spots to win basketball games. But my goodness, you could not find a sharper line going straight down on a graph from what this team has done since the start of February.
It's bad, man. It's really, really bad. And Auburn fans are not happy about it, and understandably so. Several of them texting us, several of them calling us as well. We're going to read text and answer a phone call with Lonnie down in Lochapoka. He is up. We read text messages and take more of your thoughts as Auburn falls to Ole Miss this weekend in basketball, 85-79, and the Tigers tournament hopes may have gone away with it. We do all that and more as we're just underway here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7 as we are about to get to Lonnie down in Lochapoka, but want to read a couple of these text messages very quickly. You can get yours in as well, 334-784-1067. We are talking about collapse, right, the word that we've been using, and someone said it's comparable to Texas A&M baseball last year in terms of collapse. And
yeah, going from the number one team in the country to what, unranked in like 3 to 4 weeks?
Yeah,
and
I
then
mean,
getting just destroyed to start SEC play, finally getting hot, but still missing the postseason by a couple of games.
Yeah, that's a great comparison there. That was at the start of the season, this obviously being Auburn basketball at the end of the season. Have a new texter in the text box here at 784-1067. It says, bad news won't get any better with time. Steven is overwhelmed. Look at his body language. Says he's never been the boss and certainly never led a team through adversity. And it shows. Because this team has been the same for a long time now, and nothing has changed. The lineup changed. That didn't help. And that was because you had to, you felt like.
Well, and because, again, I believe you said there's another text about not respecting Steven.
Yes.
That's the reason the lineup was made to change.
Yes.
Because the player's not showing up on time.
This texter says it's past obvious that outside of maybe 3 or 4 guys, they do not care. There's no team leader and absolutely no respect for Steven Pearl is what another texter says.
Yeah, I mean, when you're missing simple time deadlines of film and practice, things like that, I mean, that shows you, I think, both of those things being accurate of checking out and kind of representing what the NCAA is as a whole, where the player thinks it has more power than it ever has.
Let's see what this guy thinks. 334-321-1390 is the call-in number. Lonnie down there in Lochapoka, we made you wait a few minutes. Apologies there, my friend. What's going on? How do you feel about all this stuff?
All good, all good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing all right, my friend. The sun is shining. It's another beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day, but not on Auburn basketball. I'm not going to yell and scream. There's no need to. I said it a couple weeks ago when I called in that I didn't expect anything to change, and it didn't. We got extremely lucky in that Kentucky game. We're lucky that we were not 0-8 over the last game, that last eight games. But are we really surprised that we're having discipline issues 30 games in when these players signed up to play for Bruce Pearl? That's who they signed up to play for. And Bruce Pearl decided that he wanted to retire. I know they, you know, if you Google it online or whatever, it says he retired 42 days before the season. And that's technically true. But do you realize that he retired the day before practice started?
Yeah, it was one day.
One day. And the question that I have, as much as I love what Bruce Pearl did for Auburn, when does some of this come down on him? Because I'm of the opinion that he's tarnishing, and I held back from using that word a couple of weeks ago. I'm using it now. He is tarnishing his legacy right now because people are upset. I don't understand why Auburn always has to do this. We build a program up, and then it's like we take one step forward and two steps back. We did it with football a decade or so ago. It looks like we've got baseball on the right track. But, you know, what are we paying Bruce Pearl $500,000 a year for? What does he do?
He says we when saying why Miami of Ohio shouldn't be in, but we as an Auburn should. That's about
well,
it.
I don't understand. There's no telling what he's getting paid from his TV appearances. I just want to know what the guy does to get $500,000 from Auburn when he's the one that actually has put us in this position. I mean, that's fine if you want to retire, but not allowing Auburn to make any kind of legitimate coaching search is ridiculous. This guy's way, way over his head. I never wanted him hired. I was willing to let it kind of go through the motions and go through the season, but he is it's this job is too big for him. And I have never in my life, like I said 2 weeks ago, called for a coach to be fired in his first year. But the old Benjamin Franklin saying of, you know, you may delay, but time never will, that's what's going to happen. Because I actually am of the opinion that that some pressure needs to be applied. I don't want Auburn to make the tournament. And I know that sounds chicken little, and I know it sounds like a bad fan. But if we want this basketball program to get back to where it needs to be, some pressure needs to be applied for the way that we've handled this coaching search. This guy's in over his head, and I don't understand why Bruce Pearl handled the situation the way that he did, other than just say, you know what, I did it because not only did I want to retire, I wanted my son to be head coach. Just admit it, because that's exactly what happened, and now we're in a world of you know what, and I don't see it getting any better. So my opinion is cut bait now. Go hire Will Wade or Chris Beard. I know Chris Beard has not had a great year at Ole Miss, but there's no question the guy can coach and can recruit. And I think he'd do a much better job of recruiting at Auburn than Ole Miss. But Stephen Pearl's not going to get it done. It's going to be the same crap next year. You know, even if you get into the tournament as a 9 or a 10 seed, it's just, I mean, they don't respect this guy. Nobody wants to play for this guy. The recruiting is awful. And you're going to see mass defections off of this team. And why would they stay? So that's all I got to say. War Eagle.
Appreciate the call, Lonnie. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open on this Monday afternoon. Give us a call. Your thoughts on what Lonnie says. Your just opinion overall. And he mentioned the word reputation. And I want to talk about that for a moment. Because I think he's right. I think he's right. And I think there's two guys whose reputations are at stake here, and they both have the same last name. It's the father and son duo. It is Bruce and Stephen. There was a lot of hesitancy, a lot of behind the door or behind the, you know, wall questioning of why Bruce retired and the way that he did it and the very hush-hush of Bruce retiring, but Steven's going to take over and it's going to be great. Right? There was a lot of questioning on that, but not a lot of outspoken questioning here. There was a lot of, don't really understand it, seems a little weird, but let's see what happens. We'll roll with it, right? Seems to be a lot of that. But people were willing to let it play out because it's Bruce, yeah, and it's Steven, and they trusted them.
And didn't really have a reason at the time not to.
But now, because it's gone so poorly, because of how the roster was constructed, how Bruce said, peace out, I'm going to television, and Steven has clearly struggled with this team, now everybody is saying, okay, maybe we should reevaluate how this whole process went down. And we described it. It was the worst kept secret in Auburn. There was not a soul who didn't think or didn't know that this is how this was going to go. Not this season. I'm talking the transition from Bruce and life after Bruce Pearl.
Right. To where when you woke up and saw the news that Steven was hired, you went, what? No.
Right. It was not a surprise to anybody. But it's allowed to be questioned by the Auburn fans. And Lonnie is speaking for them right now. Because this is unacceptable for Auburn basketball. Plain and simple. And his point about missing the tournament to add a little fuel to the fire and pressure, I get it. And that pressure's got to come from John Cohen, who was at the root of all of this, right? Was the one who signed off on the decision for Bruce to step away and Steven to get the job. It clearly has not gone the way they wanted it to, and fans are fired up because of it. And Saturday may have been the breaking point. Auburn losing to Ole Miss 85-79. More text messages, more phone calls, and a whole lot more reactions when we come back. Give us a call, 334-321-1390, or shoot us a text at 334-784-1067. We talk more Auburn basketball next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. We're about to get to the phone lines once again. We've got a frequent flyer on the phone lines that wants to chime in on the conversation, but I want to read a couple of more text messages before we get to him. Eric in Auburn says, you nailed it. A total collapse. He says, for those of us who remember how bad Auburn basketball was before Bruce Pearl, this moment says it feels fragile. It doesn't feel like just a bad coach and player fit. He says it feels like momentum is slipping, and that's scary. He says at some point, do we have to ask whether the AD deserves some pressure? Because right now, only a few of our programs on campus feel fully healthy. Another person texted in. Again, the text box is open, 334-784-1067. This person says, blame John Cohen. Says he's still making hires like he's somewhere else at his previous stop. So there's somebody that says that. And then someone else was talking about, I read that one, that it's past obvious that nobody on the team wants to be there. They're not respecting Steven, right? And they're saying that this was not a new idea for Bruce to hand it off to Steven Pearl. So some very heated messages. Lonnie just called in. Spectre says that Auburn has a theme song now, the slip sliding away from Paul Simon. You know, the nearer your destination, the more slip sliding away, says Auburn's theme song from Spectre. So, yeah, fans can feel it. They can see it. And I think that's a scary point, that it's not just this season. You could be heading down a path, which is so dramatic from one year, right?
Especially after being, again, at the top.
But that's almost makes it worse.
Yeah.
Because you were so close to the mountaintop again, and you've had such a harsh drop-off.
Yeah.
That's what makes this even elevated that much more.
This wasn't, yeah, the 500 after 10 years. Let's see the change. We understand there's going to be change. There's going to be struggle. We knew it wasn't going to be seamless, but
And maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's an Auburn fan base that's scared of going back to what it was.
Sure.
Which I think is a realistic feeling.
Mixed with a touch of recency bias.
No doubt. Yeah. Plus the success of those around you.
Yeah.
All of that feeds into this. 334-321-1390. He is here. Uncle T-Bone is joining us on the phone lines on this Monday. My man, did you just call off of work today and just say, I'm not doing it, I'm not showing my face in this town after what happened on Saturday?
I heard Lonnie's phone call down there on Highway 14.
Yep.
And decided I'd chime in as well.
Come on.
And let me start with one of my least favorite subjects in Java history. Called the Sunshine Pumpers.
Is that S-U-N or S-O-N?
And, yeah, seriously. And they're continual on message boards and on radio shows and in conversation talking about how, well, they just need a better roster, Jacob. It's the roster's fault. And I sit here and say, you know, can we please use our brain cells? People, who built this roster? Bruce and Stephen Pearl. And the way this roster is acting off the court, it's evident to me that they had no idea that they were not coming to play for a legendary coach, but they were coming to play for a legendary coach's son, and they got zero respect for it.
I think you saw that, T-Bone, when Bruce stepped down and Steven got the job, and when it took some of the guys several days to decide if they wanted to come back, including Tahad Pettiford, that grace period, that decision-making time, that doesn't happen if they knew that this was going to happen. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense, Jacob, which leads me into number two complaint about the Sunshine Pumpers, and their defense now is, well, Uncle T-Bone, Spectre, everybody, he was always going to be the coach in waiting. That narrative is a lie. They wouldn't have had to re-recruit half the team, like you just said, if that was what was going down. I mean, Auburn got forced into hiring Stephen Pearl, fact. I don't blame the athletic director. What else was he supposed to do? Hire Bergmaster?
Yeah,
they didn't have any other option.
What about a coaching search, T-Bone? You don't think that was an option for them to have a legitimate search? Because obviously that didn't happen.
Not the day before practice, no.
Yeah.
Not at that time, no. Yeah, I mean, if he would have resigned after the Final Four, mm-hmm. and it's hard to believe. This isn't a year ago. It is a year ago. It's in March of last year. We're in the Final Four.
Yeah, this was 11 months ago, just about.
Talk about from going sugar to salt. That's Java to the max. I mean, look at the other Final Four teams, Houston, Duke, Florida, and Java.
The timing.
Do you really think, guys, that he could have had a full-blown coaching search within 30 days of the start of the season?
No. But that's what tells me, T-Bone, that this was the plan. Because I think that, I mean, there were rumblings even through last season for those of us kind of in the loop here that there were rumblings that it could be Bruce's last ride last season.
It was more of the what if this does happen?
Right.
What if the national championship does come to the Plains? You didn't hear anything about it, and obviously you didn't win it, so there was a month or two of nothing, and then the day before practice, which Lonnie mentioned.
I mean, in 30 days, you might be able to go get Coach Norman Dale.
So what's the fix, T-Bone? What's the fix?
I don't see a pathway forward with it, guys. I don't. I really don't. I mean, let's talk brass tacks, okay? Unless something changes dramatically starting tomorrow, the rest of this season, Auburn squeezes its way in the tournament somehow, which I'm going to bet against. There might be a pathway forward to actually get some talent here next year. But do you really think that most of the players on this team are coming back? They've got one foot out the door. They're getting DUIs. They're getting in trouble. They're not showing up. They're getting benched. They're gone. So you're going to have to reload the entire roster and your recruiting sitting at 112th right now, who the heck wants to come to Auburn right now when you go to Alabama and they're red hot?
It's a great point.
Seriously, guys, you're going to just reload the entire roster, and then what, it's going to be the roster's fault again next year?
It's a great point. You can't just expect it to all be okay with one offseason, right? With one offseason. And coaches deserve some grace, there's no doubt. But, yeah, there seems on paper, right, on paper this seemed like, oh, it's a great idea. Perfect. It will be seamless. It's going to be great. And now it's not, and it's not just not perfect. It's going about as poorly as it can, which is bringing out everybody.
They've lost in the last 2 weeks to Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and Mississippi State. That's brutal.
That's bad.
Those teams are horrible.
Yeah, they are. Teams that aren't going to make the tournament, T-Bone. Hey, man.
Yeah, like Auburn.
Yeah.
We ain't making the tournament.
Fact.
Have a nice day.
Uncle T-Bone joining us on the phone lines. I mean, doesn't get any spicier than that, man.
No, it doesn't whatsoever. I mean, a lot of the comments that he makes, I mean, are what you have heard rumblings on as of late, but it was just something that you tried to still push pause on for just enough to wait and try and see it through. You didn't want to jump to conclusions. You wanted to wait just a little bit because, again, Auburn played their toughest part of the schedule right in the middle. So you wanted to wait just a little bit. And now when you have those games where you can try and take advantage, work your way back into the tournament or work your way into a higher seed, into a better first-round game, into a better second-round game to where the Sweet 16 could have been a possibility, who would have thought just a couple weeks later you're staring at the outside looking in at the not invited tournament?
Don't even bring that up. Please, don't. You talk about tarnish your reputation even
yes.
more in my eyes. Auburn gets to the Final Four a year ago. Back it up.
Yeah, with a second round exit, dude, in the NIT.
Brutal. Let's get to the phone lines again. We got two more on the line. 334-321-1390. Susan, you've waited oh so patiently. We appreciate you doing so. How are you on this Monday?
I'm great. As someone that went to Auburn at the end of the Pat Dye era and graduated in 96, I can tell you Auburn basketball was a joke. I mean, nobody went. It was so horrible. And that was the end of the, you know, the football era.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is why was he hired for this? Shouldn't he have started out as a smaller school as a head coach? Let's see what you can do. I think Todd Golden was at San Francisco State.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't run into the SEC as your first. I mean, again, I could be wrong. And I think Chris Beard is an excellent coach. I was so sad. I was in Texas. And what happened to him at the University of Texas was absolutely horrible when they found everything was not true. But you don't get jobs like that. He has a lot of experience. And I'm not saying fire the guy, but my God, I don't think we're going to have a chance. And there'll be the joke again, gone for years, hoping that the football tied. But we always do this to ourselves. We just stick ourselves in the foot. It's like, seriously, I have so much respect for Bruce Pohl. He took this program too. But I think the guy needs to start at a smaller school, Troy, South Alabama, UT, Arlington, somewhere. You've got to have some coaching experience in a smaller community. And that's all I had to say. But thank you, guys.
Thank you, Susan. We appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you again holding on there through a couple of phone calls. And I think she said what we were implying before we went to the phone lines.
I was about
again.
To say, that's what we talked about that on air a little bit or during the break as well, of how much do we want to dive into that. And so now a perfect opportunity to, and really, really good points on, man, this was a conversation 2-3 years ago on, man, there's a couple really good mid-majors that are opening right now to where names started floating around. And Steven was a part of those conversations before taking the jump to the associate head coach, the defensive coordinator, whatever the case was. But, yeah, it was, man, you know that Bruce doesn't have more than 4 or 5 years left before he decides to hang it up. Go see what this guy has at the mid-major level. Go see what he can do with a program that's up and coming or a program that's been relatively solid or a program that may be struggling and see what he can do. That way, there's no sort of questions on this is how adversity is handled. This is how the locker room is handled. This is how the coaching adjustments are made from game to game or half to half or front half of the season versus back half of the season. This is what you can see with the trends of when things go right or when things go wrong. There's so many questions that you entered into this season, and you even take the last name out of the conversation of take the son, Bruce Pearl, or Stephen Pearl, out of the Bruce Pearl conversation. Just think about a first-year head coach going into a P4 school, a school that has made the Final Four twice in 7 years, and the year before you get hired, and there's one returner. What other school gives an opportunity like that to somebody else, to a first-year guy with that many questions?
It's a great point. Not many, if any.
It doesn't happen. The only one that's even possibly at that point, and I don't even know if this is 100% confirmed, and it may have been until you saw the result at Auburn, is Kelvin Sampson's son, who's on staff at Houston right now, who is more than likely going to take over for Houston. But if you're Houston right now, you're sitting there looking at it going, huh.
Maybe we don't want to do
maybe
that.
That was the test subject, and maybe, okay, Kelvin, can you give us 2 more years? All right, you go somewhere else for 3 years, and let's figure it out, and let's reconvene, and then after that 2-year stretch, keep the phone calls open.
In comparison to the Pitino family, you've got Rick Pitino, Hall of Famer, legend, top 5 coach probably of all time, who is the head coach at St. John's. He's got a son that's coaching college basketball and has worked his way up through the ranks. St. John's is in the Big East, head coach by Rick Pitino. Would you like to know what conference his son is a head coach in now? The Big East. He's a coach in the Big East, but he's worked his way up and he's learned how to be a head coach. And that point by Susan was fantastic. And then the other point she made on something that I said, and she just proved it. Auburn fans are scared to death, and they should be, about slipping away, losing momentum, like Eric said, and going right back to mediocrity. That is scary, and it sucks because it's happening in front of our eyes. And again, to there's some out there who would hear that and see that and say, okay, you guys are overreacting. It's 1 year. It's not that big of a deal. But it is. Because Auburn's Final Four run in 2019 at the time could have been seen and classified as lucky or
it was a team
magical.
That got hot.
They got hot. But then they did it again.
Yeah.
And making it for a second time in 5 years, or I guess second time in 6 years.
But while also being a really good team before the pre-COVID era.
Having guys get drafted to the NBA, having a lottery pick in the NBA. I mean, having things like that happen.
Yeah.
Auburn basketball had gotten over the hump. Auburn basketball had become more than just a lucky team, a fun, magical run. They had become a legitimate, respectable program.
Duke invited Auburn to play in their stadium, not just an arena, at their castle on ESPN at night.
Auburn had overcome that. Auburn had reached the peak and had become a new blood in college basketball. For a very short amount of time, yes, but they were there. You're now losing that. Game by game. And as T-Bone mentioned, we're going to get to break, and John in Auburn, he's held on. We're going to get to him as well. Plus, I've got, I think, 17 text messages. Losing to Tennessee, Bama, Vandy in Arkansas, you don't lose your credibility for those. That's a tough stretch. That's a bad stretch, but you don't lose credibility as a new blood college basketball program. Start losing games to Mississippi State, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, a team that had not won in 10 straight games. Mid-January was their last win. And your season was on the line. It was up for grabs. It was on the table. All you had to do was go get it. And you laid down and died. You laid down and let that happen on Saturday. And Auburn fans saw a glimpse of what could be to come because of how this whole process went. With Bruce retiring, Steven taking over, and I agree with Susan 100%. We said it leading up because, again, it was the worst-kept secret in the history of Auburn athletics that Steven Pearl was going to get the job. Why not go get experience? Other than having to leave Auburn to do it, and I get that, that almost came off to them as like, how dare you suggest that? Yeah. How dare you recommend
that? That's my associate
that?
Head coach.
That's my son. But yet here we are. And this is to the extreme, but it's reality. And this is what's happening.
And real quick, Susan mentioned the name Todd Golden, who served as an assistant coach at Columbia before going to the director of basketball operations at Auburn, and then becoming as one of the assistant coaches for Auburn.
Yep.
He then coached at San Francisco from 2019 to 2022, went 57-36 in those years, and he led the Dons to a 24-win season in their first NCAA tournament bid since 1998 in his final year there. So you want to talk about growth. You want to talk about seeing the potential at a smaller school. No wonder Gainesville made the call.
You got to learn. You don't go from kindergarten to college. No, you work your way through. You learn some in kindergarten. Then they send you to first grade. Then you go through elementary school and you learn and you stack and you grow. Then you go to middle school. And in math, they start introducing letters. And that's when I got confused because I couldn't handle it. But
you
learn.
Calc 3 was easy. I don't even know if that's a thing.
Calc 3? Yeah, it's a college class. But you learn and you grow and you add on over time. You don't go from kindergarten and writing your ABCs to college and taking chemistry. It doesn't work. It's not a seamless transition. And that's what we're watching right now. We're watching it crumble in front of our eyes. And I hate it for Steven. I do. Because I think he's a good dude. And I think there's a good coach inside him. But this may have been too much. Let's take a break. We'll come back. John, you've held on a long time. I hope you hold on through the break, my man. You're going to get your time. As soon as we come back, we wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrap it up. Hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. John, we appreciate you holding on, my man. I got about a minute for you right now, unless you want to hold on for another break and start hour number two with us. Totally up to you.
No, I'll go real quick.
Okay.
Steven Pearl, one thing I wish he would do more, I think his body language is awful on the sidelines.
You're not a fan, like, John, of the squatting down on the floor?
No, our team plays tight, and I feel like plays with a lack of intensity due to him being that way. That's all I got. Hey, and women's basketball had a worse loss, so there's that.
They had a loss indeed. That one hurt. John, again, thank you. Again, you know, you're a loyal listener for us. We appreciate you calling in and giving your thoughts there after a good 5-minute hold. So, funny enough, he is not the first one to bring up body language to me. I've had multiple people, you know this, people have brought it up to me.
I had that talk this morning, again.
Oh, nice.
Waiting to see if...
Yeah, a lot of my family members have brought that idea up, which I hate to be this way. That's getting nitpicky for me. I think that's very nitpicky to be like, I don't like the shoes you're wearing. You know what I mean? But I get their point, and I get their reasoning, and... I don't know. I guess that's just adding on to the list of things people don't like about what's happening right now, and I respect that.
I think one thing, too, is because he talked about when he first got hired, he did not want to be the guy that immediately came into the league and became the hothead, became the one that didn't get friends with the officials. But because of that, I think you've gotten stepped on a little bit. And then in the half of the season, he said, I need to get hotter. I need to see how our team will react. You haven't seen a change.
And it may have been too late at that point. Again, with guys showing up, not playing, not even being a part of the team, that's where the respect factor comes in. So, more on this coming up in hour number two.
We can ask the scorers table how it feels.
Yeah, the scorers table has been beat to death. We talk more Auburn coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us as we get started in hour number two. If you missed any of the first 60 minutes, my goodness, it was, fiery? Is that the word we want to use for what the first 60 minutes of today's show was? It was something like that. So a lot of phone calls, a lot of text messages, a lot of reactions to what has happened to Auburn basketball. Not just Saturday. That's the message I'm getting, Christian. It wasn't just about Saturday. It's about what the season has been up to this point. So a lot of that in hour number one. Again, we had phone calls, text messages, all sorts of things. And so if you missed any of that, you can always go back and listen to the show and catch up on the podcast version wherever you get your podcasts, or check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two. Same thing.
Yeah. You tell us. You tell us.
We have a rundown, but my goodness, we haven't looked at it really yet, and I don't see that really changing up until 3:30, where we do have Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joining us to talk more of this conversation, but also to give us some good word on Auburn baseball as well. Auburn women's basketball in the SEC tournament. We'll be able to dive into a little bit more on that side of things with Jacob Hillman again at 3:30. But easier said. We're continuing a lot of that conversation here in hour number two.
Yeah, we are. Again, phone lines up until that point are open. We had a ton of you call in the first hour. Would love for that to continue here in the second hour. 334-321-1390. Again, that number, 334-321-1390. If you want to call in about your thoughts and opinions on Auburn Ole Miss, the game itself, or just the season as a whole, where Auburn is heading. Are they a tournament team? Are they not a tournament team? Are they deserving of being in the tournament, and is it better for them to make or miss the tournament? We have people having that conversation right now. So 334-321-1390, or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067, and I want to start the hour there because several more people have texted in over the last 15 or 20 minutes, and I want to make sure we get those read out on the air. Someone says, Christian, that Auburn should have named Stephen Pearl the interim rather than giving him a full contract. And again, there's a lot of frustrations right now. And Stephen being the head coach, he's getting all of the heat. He's getting all the hate. He's getting all the blame. It's like the quarterback, right?
Sure, yeah.
You when get all the fame, great. All the blame, right? That's just how it goes. But being the head coach, making the money, having the fame, having the title, you should expect that. And I think that goes back into the conversation we were having to end the first hour that Susan brought up about him going and getting experience somewhere. We think about that, right? If he were a coach at a mid-major, we think about that from the on-floor in-game experience. We don't think about that in terms of the media experience, the fan base experience.
Well, that's what I was talking about with the buy-in on the locker room.
Yeah. I mean, all of that comes in, is encompassed by being a head coach at a mid-major school. But yeah, this person says that Auburn should have made him the interim rather than giving him a full contract.
I'm guessing based off of the timeline with that, with Bruce stepping down the day before, almost make it a interim head coach for a year, which, I mean, I guess is still a longer interim tag than you traditionally have, but rather than taking a four-year deal, just make it a, this is a one-year thing, we'll take it year by year. If things don't work, we will proceed from there. I guess when you look at it from that standpoint, does that mean if that were offered to Steven on the table, would he, A, take it, B, how would the players respond? Would they have stayed? Because if that's the case, then if they don't, your basketball team gets screwed over even more. So a couple of questions to follow up from that, but you completely understand it rather than, okay, now there's no choice but to either pay a buyout or to keep this going for the next couple of years.
A reminder that Stephen Pearl signed a five-year contract with Auburn worth $3 million a year. Could get over $1 million more based on performance-based incentives. And, yeah, I think if there was some more time, and again, people are making the quick judgment here. They did when it happened, and it's resurfacing right now that nobody knew Bruce was going to retire the day before the season and Steven was just going to magically get the job. Like, it comes off, at least in the public eye, that Bruce Pearl woke up that day, said, I think I'm going to retire, and I would like it to be Steven. Auburn said, sure, we'll do that, and that's how it all went down. But do we really believe that that's how this went down? Do we really believe that Bruce went through the summer and was really debating whether he wanted to be the head coach or not? And then a couple of days before, I think they said that they discussed it with Auburn, and this is the agreement that they came to. Do we really believe that that's truly how this went down? And going deeper into that is a conversation for another day, right? Yeah. But in terms of the contract that Stephen Pearl has, I agree. 5 years for a brand new coach at $3 million, which is not near what some guys are making, but it's more than others are making, and seems to be a little aggressive to me that Auburn maybe jumped the gun there a little bit to where, yeah, you could even make it a one-year rental or a two-year deal that could roll into more than that based off success.
Again, I do wonder, though, if that changes the mindset. Is that something that Steven, again, you mentioned not diving deep into this, but did he already know about that? Otherwise, would he not have signed a one-year interim deal? What would that do to the players that after that grace period decided to all stay, which I think took a little bit more than just, please, Steven's still going to be the head coach. I'm sure that there was a little bit of a financial income change as well on that side of things.
Yeah, but with most of them being with most of them being older and or transfers, I mean, most of them were one-year guys anyway, right? I mean, Tahad coming back was seen as one more year. Keyshawn Hall was one more year. Murphy's one more year. I mean, all those guys are Kevin Overton. They're all seen as one-year guy anyways coming into this year, right?
Right, yeah.
So I don't know.
I think that what you're bringing up, I think that's answered by going and looking at the amount of teams that reached out to guys like Tahad Pettiford or guys that reached out to guys like Keyshawn Hall. I mean, we had Dan Hurley interested in trying to get Tahad Pettiford. And so, yes, although that makes a questionable for what the locker room could look like if all of a sudden you bring in your starting point guard or your starting shooting guard that late a day or even at that point 2 or 3 days into your season starting or your practices starting, that could change up the locker room a little bit. But I still think that goes to show the desire for a lot of these guys individually. But that's all the season's been, is a bunch of guys individually.
Yeah, you're right about that. Another text that we got on this conversation, you can get your thoughts in here as well, 334-784-1067 in the on-the-line text box. This person says, if Bruce had respect for Auburn and its basketball program, he would have retired shortly after the Final Four instead of forcing us into the hire that happened.
It makes me wonder, too, about, and I guess this is diving a little bit more into the Auburn University side of things, but, man, to be a fly on the wall and know the actual details within the true dialogue of what was said behind closed doors, to where if this was just Steven, or this was just Bruce understanding one day before, if there was the strings attached, everything like that with the Alan Green conversations and now the John Cohen conversations of how long did he know? If Auburn truly didn't know what Bruce was going to do, was there not ever a conversation of this is the deadline? Just so that way we do not get screwed over by whatever your decision entails?
Could be.
That brings it more back into the speculation that both parties knew.
Yeah. Again, there's more details here than most people know, and I'm not claiming to know all of them. I don't.
No.
I don't. But I just refuse to believe that what we are led to believe is the actual truth or the full truth or the whole truth.
It never is.
And it never is, and it never will be. That's just how the world works, unfortunately. But you know that it's bad. Let me put a bow on this. And then we'll talk more basketball specifics here. You know it's bad when the Auburn fan base not only is going after the current head coach and Stephen Pearl, and it's all over the spectrum right now. You've got some that are like, yeah, I get it. It was a tough job, but we believe. Let's see how it goes. There's others that say, man, I don't know. This is not going well. I'm not sure how I feel. Then you've got some, a lot of them in the first hour of our show said, to heck with this. Get them out. Restart. This never should have happened in the first place. There's a lot of people all over the place in this conversation.
There's another sport that's gone through something similar like that, too.
Yeah, some part like that. But you know it's bad when the Auburn fans are not only going after the current head coach, now they're starting to question the previous head coach, who will go down as the greatest coach the program has ever seen, who will go down as a guy that fans want a statue of outside, a guy that people like us have pledged for the court to be named after. That's how you know it's bad. That's how you know the program is going in the wrong direction, that the vibes are not immaculate around here. Auburn fans are questioning Bruce Pearl. And by no means is he above criticism. I said that plenty of times on this very show and have got cussed out for it by Auburn fans saying, how dare you question Almighty Bruce because of what he did for the program. But remember what we talked about in the first hour, where Auburn was no longer this just magical thing that it's a miracle that they're good at basketball. No, they overcame that and established themselves as a good program, as a legitimate program in college basketball, where that now meant Bruce Pearl as a basketball coach was not above criticism. And I said that several times, and again, people got mad at me, and that's fine. You're allowed to disagree. But look at where we are in a world now that Auburn fans are questioning him for the way that he left, for the way that he did his own program, who built it higher than it's ever been.
And not only questioning that, but scared to death to look 3 years in the future of what the Auburn program could be.
For the first time in a long time. For the first time since Bruce got hired over a decade ago.
Yeah.
Auburn fans are questioning the future of basketball. It's been one of the few constants you've had. And now that has been taken away. That's why I think Auburn fans are so fired up, and they should be. Again, they absolutely should be. From the season as a whole, and then the game that happened on Saturday. Because...
And not even game... That just puts the bow on the entire...
No doubt.
...conversation, because it has been games on coaching, on us even going to the defense, no pun intended, on Stephen Pearl, on you can't make Stephen go out onto the floor and guard the point guard, right? You can put these guys in the right positions, but this team was obviously recruited to score the basketball. There was not a whole lot of thought into the defensive side, or at least you were hoping that it was the buy-in to defense, but it was, okay, let's go get a couple naturally gifted scorers and we can work with the rest. You're now seeing the alternative to the extreme of the very few times when you outshoot teams, you can win a couple of games, but you can't get stops when you need to. We dove into those numbers in hour number one on the crunch time minutes. And that's when it just gets absolutely devastating, because there's so many different ways that were, despite everything, despite the injuries of this team, despite the unluckiness of this team that's been thrown at a couple of times, or despite wanting to say how close this basketball team is, that word still really hurts to use and a little bit ironically, but despite all of that, Auburn has still been in so many different games, and they have found so many different ways to lose that all boil down to just a couple of things.
And that's what gets me. And again, this is the first time in an hour that we've actually talked about the game or even mentioned Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're right. That was just the cherry on top, if you will, of the tipping point of, okay, enough is enough. That's what this was. That's what Saturday night was for Auburn fans. They said enough is enough. We convinced ourselves, we convinced ourselves, okay, that the loss at Tennessee was okay. We convinced ourselves the loss at home against Alabama was okay. The Vanderbilt game, the Arkansas game. Somehow, we convinced ourselves the loss to Mississippi State was okay because by the grace of God, you backed it up with a win against Kentucky.
Because somehow it was just unlucky that somebody
Josh Hubbard
got
had a career night.
Yeah.
And you let him go for 1,000 points. We convinced ourselves that the Oklahoma game was an okay loss because it was quad one.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you won, you lost it, but it added another tally into the quad one. You're now 6-11.
There's no way to reroute what happened on Saturday night against Ole Miss. There's no way. There's no positive spin on it. Think about the happiest, most positive person in your life. Could they do it? I don't think so. How? Name one good thing that came from Saturday night. One good thing.
Never mind.
I don't know where you're going, but
you don't.
Probably not clean for... No, it's okay.
We can say it.
No, it's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
But that's the problem. That's how bad it is. That's how bad it is. When Auburn, okay, had lost 6 of its last 7, right? We had convinced ourselves in every single scenario that it was okay. That it was all right. That there was a way out of it, right? You turned down the wrong path on the maze, but it was okay. We'll turn around and find another way. It's okay. Everything's okay. But that's how bad this Ole Miss loss was. To the point that we're asking the question, is this the worst loss you've ever seen inside that building? And I think it's very possible. That's a quad three loss. It's embarrassing.
It's so bad that it's gotten to the point of... Again, Auburn kind of being compared with Miami of Ohio, and Bruce Pearl has made his comments clear on that side of things. But I've seen the Auburn online fan base, which half are trolls and half want to say that they're still completely bought in, but take a little bit of flack on Joe Lunardi still having Auburn even in the conversation right now. But it's gotten so bad that you're at the point of Auburn fans asking for Lunardi to put Miami of Ohio in the tournament instead of Auburn.
We had a caller in the first hour say that Auburn missing the tournament would be more beneficial because of the message it would send to the athletic department and to the program itself. And the more we discuss it and think about it, by no means am I saying, please don't put Auburn in the tournament. But I understand that point of view. And that is bad. Again, think about it. Think about where we are and where the fan base is and the messages that are being sent out right now.
And how long it's been since we've had a conversation about Auburn not having their name in a 68-team field. Yet that conversation would be better for the program's future.
More thoughts from you when we come back. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. You got about 10 more minutes to get in before Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will join us. We'll talk to him about basketball. We'll get his thoughts on baseball, since that'll be the first time we've had a chance to mention it today. Totally understandable. But we'll talk about baseball, softball as well, and everything else going on here on the Plains. That's at 3:30, but phone calls and text messages some more when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Speaking of On the Line, let's do so right now. 334-321-1390. James, you are on the line, my friend. What's going on?
Not much. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I just was able to tune in when y'all started, you know, this last hour.
Mm-hmm.
And you made a comment about Bruce Pearl retiring. Let me tell you something. A lot of us were born at night, but not last night.
Heard that.
You know, I'm retired. I look forward to that day. I knew when my last day was going to be, and I knew when my first day of retirement was going to start. The thing about it, Bruce just didn't wake up one morning and say, "Hey, man, I'm going to call it a day." No. I guarantee you that. I mean, I don't know for 100% fact, but I believe in my heart, this was anybody that's going to retire, you start making plans and preparations for it.
Yeah, you have your 6-month calendar.
Yeah. I mean, Bruce, I mean, he's organized. He knew what he was doing. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, he saw the handwriting on the wall. The team wasn't going to be that strong. So, you know, he went out, you know, he wanted to go out on the positive note. Well, whether that's the case or not, you know, I honestly believe, I hate to say this, because I really like Bruce. I feel like he put Auburn in a pickle, you know?
He did.
He forced it.
But, you see, James, yeah. I don't think it, me personally, I don't think it had anything to do with this roster or this team. I really don't. I think Bruce had just decided, I think he knew last year that it was going to be it because of how good that team was and what they could do, which is why, again, a lot of people have brought up the concern and the question of if he was going to do it being retired, right, why would he not have done it at the very end of the season when Auburn got beat in the Final Four rather than let's string this along, whether it was public or not, if Auburn knew it or not, whatever the case may be, why did it take so long? That's why people are concerned.
That's right. And I also believe that, I mean, if you've got kids, you know, and Steven is his son, you know, anytime any parent worth their salt is going to try to help or take care of their children, whether it be boy, girl, man, woman, if they have an opportunity to. So, you know, I think Bruce had a plan. And maybe he thought because of his success that it would just, you know, the transition would flow real smooth and wouldn't be a problem. And I really feel a lot of Auburn people bought into that. But now, seeing how the season has turned out, thinking, oh, man, we got hoodwinked. Mm-hmm. You know, no. But, you know, and I'll make one more comment and I'll let you go. But I really believe that the team is just, they've called it a day. They just don't seem to, they don't care. I mean, that's just my opinion. I think they are just playing as individuals, trying to pad their stats. And a lot of them know, hey, we're not going to be here next year.
Right.
So I'm looking out for number one. Hmm. And you think about this. Where is Auburn on the recruiting, basketball recruiting? Where are they ranked?
You got to scroll quite a ways down.
Yeah, they're way down there. So, you know, with all this turmoil going on, you know, who's going to want to come play? It's going to be very difficult for Steve to fight the recruit. Maybe I'm wrong. Hope I am. But, you know, he's got a long road to hoe, you know, to get this team to back where Auburn people are accustomed to where it's been for the past several years. So, I don't know. It's kind of like it's fallen into the same kind of situation we found Auburn football is falling in right after they fired Gus Malzahn. So, I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah.
But, look, I enjoy your show every day, man. I appreciate your time, and y'all have a good day.
Thanks so much, James. Yeah. We appreciate you as well, my friend. 334-321-1390. There's a word in there that he said, Christian, and he made a lot of good points. There's a word that I want to hit on as we're being kicked out right now. He said there was a plan. And I agree. I think the Pearls had a plan. And I think it was executed exactly how they wanted it to go.
The forefront.
I think, well, yes. To that point, the plan has failed.
Right, yeah, the forefront, the step one of the plan worked seamlessly.
The back end has failed miserably. And what do you do? How do you fix it? I don't think they thought that part through. And you can blame whoever you want to blame, but yeah, Auburn was absolutely putting in a pickle. And fans trusted it because that's what they had done all the time for Bruce. But what do you do when the plan fails? We're seeing it right now. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us right after this.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. And we get to the phone line to welcome in our usual Monday 3:30 guest. He is with the Auburn Sports Network, Jacob Hillman. My man, it is great to talk to you on a gorgeous Monday. Please tell me you're getting that golf swing up and ready to go for the spring.
Listen, it is getting warmed up, and it's going to be ramped up as soon as we know that this is consistent. I'm still waiting for that second cold snap to happen, and we'll hate that, but right now it is as beautiful as it gets here in Auburn, Alabama.
Well, Mr. Hillman, let me go ahead and confirm to you the swing from Mr. Goins. Now, we're trying to get it for 18 holes consistently, but we have the best nine that he's ever played down this past weekend.
Wow.
And so if you ever need like a 1v1 with me just walking around keeping scores, you let me know when the Battle of the Jacobs is happening, and I'm there.
We're going to have to make that happen at some point this spring and maybe make it a series over the summer. That would be a fun time.
A full 72-hole carryover over four different days?
Yes.
How about that?
I mean,
we're Jacob Major.
Meeting of the minds right here.
Some of us have to work for a living. I don't know about everybody else in this room, but some of us have to work, you know, like 9 to 5, if not more. But, no, golf season is coming around soon, Jacob, but it is crossover season right now. And, of course, basketball, baseball, softball, everything going on around Auburn Athletics. And we'll start with what the conversation has been dominated by all show long today. It is Auburn basketball losing to Ole Miss over the weekend, now losing 7 of its last 8, and want to talk about the game in particular because we just haven't had a chance to do so yet. What did you see? You were there. You were courtside, Auburn and Ole Miss, as the Tigers fall 85-79. Your thoughts on the game itself from Saturday night?
Yeah, this was a game where you get a good scoring output from your top two guys, and Tahad Pettiford and Keyshawn Hall, but then it's not as much from the other guys. And that's kind of where I think Auburn fell short in this game. It was really good to see a guy like Elijah Freeman score 15 points and back up the previous Saturday's heroics, but it just wasn't consistent throughout the lineup. And what was consistent was Auburn's inability to stop some of its opponent's best shooters. And that was the case with Patton Pinkins and Eduardo Klafke scoring 26 points each. And that's just something that has really bitten Auburn over the past month in February. And it was Nigel Pack on Tuesday for Oklahoma. It was Otega Owe for Kentucky. And we know the rest of the story as well. So it just continued to happen defensively. And then on the offensive end, I feel like the Tigers were unable to really kind of sustain runs. Like coming out of halftime, Auburn had a solid lead and looked strong, looked like Auburn was ready to kind of run away with it. And then just immediately allows the Rebels to go on their own run. And from there, it was a back and forth battle until the end when Ole Miss ultimately goes up big and Auburn is unable to respond.
And now, Hillman, with two games left this season, you feel like Auburn is at a spot right now, if they're wanting to continue their postseason hopes, I believe right around 30-35% right now to make the postseason, despite just wins. In your opinion, what needs to happen for this squad to try and make their way, whether that's back into a play-in game or solidly into the tournament? What needs to happen in these last two games other than just a win?
Yeah, it's going to be an uphill battle, but it all starts with the defense, and that's been what we talked about really all season. So, you know, I just don't know if that's going to be something that can click on at this point. But we have seen performances from this team throughout the season. I go back to that Arkansas game back in January, in early January at Neville Arena, when the Tigers beat the Razorbacks by 22 points. You look at the Florida game in Gainesville, that could potentially be the best win of any team this season, going on the road and winning there. And the ability is there. It is possible. We have seen that happen before. And that's kind of what I have to look back on and think, all right, how can the Tigers translate this to tomorrow's game against LSU and Saturday's game at Alabama, and then whoever it is in the SEC tournament that awaits the Tigers? And, you know, when I go back to both of those games, it was Auburn stuffing the paint and not letting teams really go inside out. Now, of course, what we've seen over the past month is teams light Auburn up from three. So how does Auburn balance that out? Because obviously you can't just stack the paint and allow shooters to be wide open, because we've seen that not work over the past month. And again, that's getting really technical and into the game plan and things like that. But overall, it is going to start with the defense, because we know the offense is still one of the best in the SEC and one of the elites in college basketball. The analytics tell you that and have told you that all season long. It's the defense that will have to step up if Auburn wants to keep those hopes alive.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us on the phone lines here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And LSU coming in tomorrow night, the final home game of the season. It may take some Red Bull poured into a cup of coffee to stay up and stay alive for this one. 9 o'clock start tomorrow inside of Neville Arena between that one and the road game at Alabama. I mean, you talked about the game plan there a little bit, bracketologies and things on making it to the tournament. But in those two matchups, I mean, is there a player you're looking for? Is it something Steven can do that to kind of get them up and going? I mean, losing seven of your last eight, that's hard to come over and overcome, I guess. And you'd love to see him do it tomorrow in the home finale.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I do think that scoring is kind of one of those things that's been hot and cold with most of this team throughout the year. I think Keyshawn Hall has probably been one of your more consistent players on the scoring front, while a guy like Tahad Pettiford has been explosive at times, and he had a nice three-game stretch in the middle of February as well, looked to bounce back again against Ole Miss. I want to see Keyshawn Murphy kind of come back alive. He had his career high against Arkansas in Fayetteville and then topped that a Saturday later against Kentucky, but then he only has 2 points against Ole Miss. And, of course, there was him not starting in that game, but he's going to be back and ready to go with his full minutes this week. So I think a guy like him stepping up can lead to openings for an Elijah Freeman and Kevin Overton that did score the ball well against Ole Miss, but making it more consistent and a little bit more efficient, because that's something that I think the Tigers could see a tick up on offense, is just that efficiency. I mean, Auburn shot 33% from three. You'd like to see that just a little bit higher, especially on 24 three-point attempts.
It's unfortunate we haven't been able to talk too much about it. Tuesdays are usually our deep dive into baseball, but man, you feel like to be able to give as much credit to Butch Thompson and the guys inside Plainsman Park, I mean, whenever you can talk about the success that they have, you feel like you need to. They drop game one against Nebraska in extra innings, almost get that comeback. Runners in scoring position, can't get it done on Friday, but my goodness, the response afterwards, 15-4 in seven innings on Saturday, 12-3. Their win on Sunday to win the series, continuing that stretch of series wins at home inside Plainsman Park. I mean, what do you continue to look at with this season for Auburn baseball as they continue to work their way towards SEC play and what they continue to do so well?
Yeah, pretty resilient group after that Friday outing, and even in that Friday outing, and didn't quite get the job done in game one, but to come back out on Saturday and Sunday and win those games in that fashion was really incredible. And, you know, shout out to Mason McCrane. He back-to-back SEC Freshman of the Week honors. It's going to be hard to keep him and his brother off the field, even as freshmen so far this season. But I think the offense is starting to click a little bit more, and we're starting to see guys hit more consistently. It was good to see Chris Rembert back in the lineup over the weekend, and looking forward to seeing him back in the field consistently and really back in the flow of things. So I think that when the offense starts to come along, this pitching staff has continued to be excellent. And that's why Auburn is in the position that it's in, because of guys like Jake Marciano and Alex Petrovic and Jackson Sanders. These guys are coming to the ballpark, locked in and ready to go from the get-go. And that's been the difference so far this season. Now, like I said, once the offense is fully clicking, then the sky is the limit for the Tigers. And we're starting to see that with their performance over this past weekend.
Well, there's a lot happening here on the Plains, talking basketball, baseball with our guy Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. Want to get into some of the other sports as well while we still have you for a few minutes. The Jane B. Moore Memorial, that happened this weekend. You were on the call for several of these games for Auburn softball. Troy on Thursday, Friday, Virginia Tech Friday, Saturday, USC Upstate Saturday, Sunday as well. Tigers got some big wins and tried to break a record out there too, a world record, I believe, huh?
Yeah, no, that was a wild post game to see all of that happen. The most foam softballs dropped from a helicopter ever. It was 500, and it was cool to see a lot of youngsters of the Auburn family out on J.B. Moore Field's playing surface, collecting those, and just having a blast on what was a beautiful Sunday afternoon, and doing that. Just, it's always a special time out there, and that place in the park as well. Just, it's always good to be out at the ballpark during the spring, but, you know, during the game, that's what we're here to talk about is,
right.
It was fun to see the Tigers, you know, have a successful weekend, of course, falling twice to, number 11, Virginia Tech. That Friday night game was really interesting, where the Tigers take the lead, have all the momentum, but that Virginia Tech team is just really good and was able to answer right back and carry that momentum into Saturday with the win. It was interesting also because, Coach Mallow wasn't the happiest post game yesterday, as he talked with me on the Regions Bank post game show, just about how the team left runners on base. It was multiple runners left on base in five of the seven innings against USC Upstate in that Sunday finale. And obviously, with SEC play on the horizon, he wants to see that cleaned up. Now, overall, this team had a successful month of February. I mean, you look at some individual notes, Ella Harrison. In the win yesterday, she had a season-high 13 strikeouts. Michaela Walker, she set an Auburn February record for most home runs. She surpassed some Auburn legends like Emily Carasone and Casey Cooper. And then Kylie Shaw, she's reached base every game that she's played. That's what you want out of your leadoff hitter. So this team has certainly has the expectations that they want to win now and have a successful season. It's just some of the small things that they got to clean up and get ready for SEC action.
Yeah, SEC play opening up this weekend for Auburn softball. Other things happening around Auburn athletics this week, Mr. Hillman, before we let you go. Obviously, softball, baseball in a midweek, and then one more at home before SEC play, women's basketball in the SEC tournament. I mean, there's a ton going on around the Plains, my friend.
You're exactly right. Tomorrow night, it'll be senior night at Neville Arena for men's basketball as the Tigers host LSU at 9 o'clock Central. That's right, 9 o'clock Central on Wings 94.3 FM. I'll join Andy Burcham and Randall Dickey on the call at 8:30. Right here on ESPN 106.7, though, right before that will be Auburn baseball against Samford with Brad Law and Jason Caldwell beginning at 5:45. And like you said, Wednesday, women's basketball against Texas A&M in the SEC tournament in Greenville. That game will tip off at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 106.7. with Britt Bowen on the call. Thursday night, we'll have Tiger Talk. It'll be Stephen Pearl, and we'll have Coach Alex Golish on as well at 6 o'clock on Wings 94.3 FM. And then the weekend comes, and Auburn baseball hosts its non-conference finale against Winthrop Friday through Sunday, game times at 6, 2, and 1. And then softball will host its SEC opener against Kentucky with game times at 6, 2, and 1 as well. So it is an absolutely loaded weekend for Auburn athletics on the Plains, but also on the road as Auburn basketball will close out the season at Alabama on Saturday night at 7:30 on Wings 94.3 FM. We're on the air at 7 o'clock across the Auburn Sports Network. So much going on, and like you mentioned, there's so much in other sports. Equestrian hosts its season finale against Texas A&M. The number one seed in the SEC championship is on the line on Saturday between the Tigers and Aggies at the Auburn University Equestrian Center. Auburn will ultimately host the SEC championship at the end of March on the 27th and 28th. So hopefully a top seed for the Tigers after that one. And then you look at some of the programs like men's and women's tennis. They're having so much success. It was a record crowd at the Yarbrough Tennis Center for the women's tennis team this past weekend, and expecting to see more of that for both of those programs going forward. Men's and women's golf in action, and gymnastics will be back at home on Friday as well against number 11 Michigan State at 7 o'clock. So make sure you get your tickets for all the events going on AUBTIX.com, and that you are staying tuned to the Auburn Sports Network and follow at AU Sports Network for all the details.
Doesn't get better than that, man. Crossover season at its finest. There's a ton going on, and they cover it better than anybody at the Auburn Sports Network. Jacob Hillman with us every Monday at 3:30. My man, it's great to talk to you as always. We appreciate the time, and we'll do it again next Monday.
Looking forward to it, guys. War Eagle.
That's Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. Again, every Monday, 3:30 with us here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the show with telling you a lot of what he just told you, but programming notes across our family of radio stations. It's a busy week for high school, college, and more. We'll do that and wrap up the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Christian, I feel like I could do another 2 hours, man. We talked for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes today, something like that. And a lot of our listeners and callers and texters have been the heavy portion of our show, and we love it when it's this way. I hate the circumstances, but welcome to sports.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk basketball, right? I mean,
yeah,
I'm full energy to dive into the game.
Yeah, we've had
if it helps, you can watch two really, really good teams tonight. Iowa State play Arizona tonight.
Hold the phone. I have not had my moment in the sun. I have not had my moment.
Let me preface this. Auburn, hold on, keep stretching. Pop your knuckle, do whatever you need to do. So there's a couple teams here on ESPN 106.7 during 2 to 4 on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin that just seem to make the world a little bit brighter, and at least one person's world a little bit brighter, when they do not have victories. And we're not really in the year or the season of, like, gridiron or, like, postseason NFL teams or anything like that. But there is basketball going on right now. And so while Auburn may have lost,
you know who else lost? Gonzaga. The Zags go down to St. Mary's, who's not a bad team and not a bad program, but they're not a legitimate threat to do anything in the postseason. Gonzaga is an embarrassment to college basketball. They are. I don't respect them. I don't like them. I think they're a joke. They will never, ever, ever, ever win a national championship until they join a real conference. And when they lose, I celebrate every time.
As of right now, they are the top 4 seed in the most recent bracketology.
Good for them. Wait until they lose to San Francisco in the season finale, and then they'll drop to a 4.5 seed because people, for some reason, still respect that program and think that they're legitimate and think that they are just untouchable. And yet, what have they done? Nothing. I haven't even looked at their latest net and what their quadrant games look like. It can't be good. They have a comparable. People are arguing and complaining about Miami of Ohio. Gonzaga plays the same schedule. They play the same type of teams.
They are 6-2 in quad one games. They're 5-0 in quad two. They are 8-1 in quad three and 9-0 in quad four.
That was a quad three loss to St. Mary's. Unless they have a loss on there that
I don't know
about.
No, Portland was the one that.
Oh. That's
the Pilots.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I forgot about the Pilots.
No, St. Mary's.
They have played.
Their loss actually goes down as a quad one loss.
They've played 18 games in quad three and quad four. 18!
And what, half of those are conference games?
I have to be. Duke has played 9. Michigan's played 6. Arizona's played 9. Florida's played 7.
Combined 3 and 4?
Yes, combined 3 and 4. Quad three, quad four. I'm looking at UConn has played 11 because the Big East, the bottom of the Big East is terrible. Purdue has played 10. Nebraska's played 13, which is a lot, but the bottom of the Big Ten's terrible. But you see what I'm saying? Gonzaga has played 18 quad 3-4 games. That's horrible. You know how many Auburn's played? 9. Gonzaga has played double the amount of quad 3-4 games, which are games that are considered bad teams.
Yeah, must-win games.
Teams you can't lose to. But don't worry, Gonzaga's a good program. What a joke.
Good thing our must-win game gets the quad 3 team.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Gonzaga has played 18 Ole Misses this year, or worse.
Oh, 100. Yeah, I mean,
literally. Ole Miss is like 98 in the net, if that, or 70, or I don't even know. I don't know. I don't respect them.
Ole Miss is 2-13 in quad 1 games. They just picked up their second.
Golly. Oh, gosh. Okay. Go check out the podcast. Today was an awesome show. ESPNAU.com. We're back tomorrow, 2-4, right here on ESPN 106.7. We'll plug everything then. We didn't do it. I had to yell about Gonzaga. Thank you. I feel better. We'll see you tomorrow. Till then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm